So there is a beautiful Korean gospel song called Sunroa. So I think you already watched this, but to remind us, so please play for the... That's the song, Sunroa. So what do you think? How do you feel from this?
Very happy.
Very happy, yes. Very happy. Yeah.
Yeah. Out of control.
Sorry?
Even the Baptists don't carry on like that.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. So, this is the Korean Army, the Barrack Center, Training Center. Mm-hmm. So, in the Sunday worship service, so they are singing the Siluan. So exactly that song of the gospel we read today. So it's the song of a man who was blind his whole life, a man who lived in darkness from the day he was born. But one day, as you know, something incredible happened to him. His eyes were open. He could see. And in that moment of joy, all he wanted to do was praise Jesus, the one who healed him, and live in that joy forever. That's the lyrics of the gospel song Siloam. That song has moved the heart of countless people in Korea and today. It reminds us of the passage we are about to explore together. Today's theme is blindness. But we are not just talking about being unable to see with our physical eyes. We are going to look at two very different kinds of blindness. One in the Gospel of John and another in the book of 1 Samuel. Both of them have something important to say to each one of us today. So let's have a look, John. In John chapter 9, Jesus and his disciples come across a man who has been blind since birth. The disciples, like many people of their time, immediately ask a question. Who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? This tells us something about how people thought back then. If something bad happened to you, it must be because of sin, either your own or your family's at that time.
Amen.
But Jesus responds with something beautiful. He says that this man's blindness is not about sin at all. It is so that the works of God can be shown through him. Then Jesus does something unexpected. He does not ask the man to prove his faith first. He does not say, "If you promise to follow me, I will heal you." He does not ask for anything in return. He simply heals the man freely, lovingly, and without any conditions. And Jesus also said something very important in this passage. I am the light of the world. And that is exactly what he showed through this miracle. He brings light into a life that has known nothing but darkness. The blind man simply obeys. He washes in the pool of Siloam, as Jesus tells him, and his eyes are opened. Through simple, obedient faith, he is able to see the light. And more than that, he is able to see Jesus himself, the source of all light. Now let us turn to the Old Testament. In 1 Samuel chapter 16, God sends the prophet Samuel to the home of a man named Jesse. God had chosen one of Jesse's sons to be the next king of Israel. When Samuel arrives and sees Jesse's oldest son, Eliab, he is immediately impressed. Eliab is tall, not like me, and he is handsome, like Matty. Thank you. He's handsome like Edwin. He looks every bit like a king, like Phil or Richard. Samuel thinks to himself, surely this is the one God has chosen. But God says something that stops Samuel in his tracks. Do not look at his appearance or his height. I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance. So Lori, why you decide to marry Matty?
Definitely not the looks. It's more about his personality.
Okay, thank you. So I asked the same question to Candy today morning. She said, oh, because Banner is the son of a minister. That's all, yeah. Not appearance. Okay, so Sugar, so what do you think your future husband?
Future husband?
You look appearance?
No. It'll be kind of mix of personality.
Okay. Really?
Yeah, some
okay.
Some bonus.
Okay. People, yeah, usually look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. I love God. I love God. One by one, seven of Jesse's sons pass before Samuel. And each time, God says no. No, 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 no. Finally, Samuel asks, are all your sons here? I think Jesse almost seems embarrassed. He says, well, there is still the youngest one, but he is out in the fields taking care of the sheep. It sounds as if Jesse himself had not even considered David worth mentioning. And yet, God's eyes had been on David all along. When David is brought in, God immediately says, he is the one, anoint him. Samuel anoints David, and from that day on, the Spirit of God is with him. Think about what happened here. Samuel was one of the greatest prophets in all of Israel. Jesse was David's own father, the man who had known David his whole life. And yet, both of them were blind to who David truly was. They were distracted by outward looks, by height and appearance, by who seemed impressive to human eyes. Their hearts were blinded by the very things they could see. So here we are today. We may not be physically blind. We can see the world around us clearly. But the question we must ask ourselves is this. Are the eyes of our hearts truly open? Every day, we walk past people who are hurting. We see people on the outside, how they dress, how they talk, what they look like, and we make quick judgments. We miss the pain behind the smile. We overlook someone who needs a kind word. We are surrounded by so much noise and busyness in this world that our spiritual eyes can grow dull without us even realizing it. Are we not, in some ways, just like Samuel, impressed by outward appearance and missing what truly matters? Are we not sometimes like Jesse, blind even to the people closest to us, not seeing their true worth or their real needs? There is yet another kind of blindness we may be caught in, and it has to do with how we see the church. Most of us have heard the story, churches are shrinking. In Australia, people say the church is dying. In Europe, some say it has already died. So Jackie, how's England? How is the church?
Last year, mm-hmm. I went to the 9:30 service
mm-hmm.
at the Uniting Church,
mm-hmm.
And almost every pew had someone in it.
All right, thank you.
Yes, that's the only time I went,
okay.
Even though I was there longer.
All right.
Yeah, half of my family don't believe. The other half do.
Yeah. That's the reality, right?
So it's a bit...
Yeah.
A bit awkward.
Yeah. All right. So, how's the Philippines? Philippines Christianity is growing, or? Yeah, Phil, you know the Filipino Christianity.
Oh, no, I wanted to talk about the Baptist Church.
Yeah.
They have about 400 or 500 people every Sunday, one mm-hmm. service at 10.
Mm-hmm.
And their expansion, they're expanding the place. It's too small.
Mm.
With all the kiddies programs and
mm.
programs in Botchum, the work in ballet, it's just too big,
mm.
too small.
Mm.
So it's great to be a part of God's plan to expand.
Mm. Okay, thank you for explaining about that. Thank you. And also, even in Korea and the United States, the number of Christians keeps falling. It can feel like the lights are going out. But at our last presbytery meeting, Reverend David Kim showed us a graph that told a very different story. I think Bev already knew about that. Christianity worldwide is not dying. It is growing. Yes, in Australia and Europe, the numbers are falling sharply. But on the other side of the world, in the global south and the developing nations, the church is rising at a remarkable pace. Perhaps we have looked at declining churches here and watched our own children walk away and felt deep discouragement. Perhaps we have found ourselves asking, just like last week's sermon, is the Lord among us or not? Quietly wondering whether God is still present and at work. But what we see here is only a small corner of the world. Across the globe, the church is alive and flourishing. God is living, and He is still at work. Our blindness has kept us from seeing the movement of God, the one who is light. And yet, He has never stopped shining that light upon us. The good news is this: Jesus is still the light of the world, and He still opened eyes. The blind man at Siloam did not have to do anything spectacular. He simply heard Jesus and he obeyed. That act of obedient faith was all it took. His eyes were opened and he saw the light of the world face to face. So my friends, may we come before Jesus today with that same simple, trusting obedience. May we ask Him to open the eyes of our hearts to see the people around us the way He sees them, to notice the ones who are hurting, to look past the surface and into the heart. Jesus is a light in the darkness of this world. He is walking with us right now, just as He walked with that blind man outside Jerusalem. If we listen to His voice and take that step of obedient faith, our inner eyes can be opened too. And we will see not just the world around us more clearly, but Jesus Himself walking right beside us. Let us not be blind. Let us open our eyes and our hearts to the light. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word today. Thank you that you are the God who sees not just our outward appearance, but our hearts. We confess that so often our spiritual eyes are closed. We get distracted by what we can see on the outside and we miss what truly matters. We walk past hurting people. We judge others unfairly. We forget to look for you in the ordinary moments of our lives. Lord, we come to you today like the blind man at Siloam. We may not be blind in our bodies, but we need you to open the eyes of our hearts. Open our eyes to see the people around us, the ones who are lonely, the ones who are struggling, the ones who need a word of kindness or an act of love. Help us to trust you and obey you, even in the small things. And as we do, may our inner eyes be opened more and more, until we see you clearly, Jesus, the light of the world, walking right beside us every single day. We ask this in the name of Jesus, our healer, our light, and our Lord. Amen.